walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and who? And Adam and his wives hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the what? The trees of the garden. Notice what he was saying. He was walking. He was walking. Is that not an attribute of a human being? Hallelujah.
Look at something. Go to Genesis chapter 18. Verse 18. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre. I'm coming. Verse 2. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and what happened? Behold, three men were what?
Stood by him.
Standing by him, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground, and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please, let the little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. For people that think he's an angel. Look at verse 4. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, and he said, look at verse 9. Then they what? Was it one person that said it?
No.
Look at it. Now, we are going there very soon. We are going to look at monotheism, polytheism, and monolatry very, very soon. Look at what Moses is saying. Moses said, then they. He did not say, then he. That means these three persons, distinct, but are the same. They are saying the same things. What one says is what the other is saying also. Are you saying it? Is somebody farting?
No.
So like, when they were talking, like the three of them were saying the same
thing. I don't know what Moses writes. Moses has said they said. Of course, he uses that because he's writing.
Also another question. Yeah. So in Genesis 1 that we saw, where, of course, Adam, you know the way they said in community, doesn't mean the form of God that Adam and Eve do see, like, every was like
of course,
form of man.
Of course, you know that. The reason why he's writing this is that who is the audience of the book of Genesis? The children of Israel. The children of Israel understood what they had many gods, I mean, in Egypt. And none of that. But straight, I don't know whatever form God must have appeared to them. Of course, Adam and Eve are human beings now. So probably God came as a man. I don't know. He must have come as a form that they could relate with. But Moses is writing to them that God is closer to you than you can ever think or imagine. It's not one of those gods in Egypt you guys are creating in all this kind of you stick joined together that does not look like you and cannot talk back to you. Moses is saying the God of Israel is going to be in your form, is closer to you than you can imagine. That's why when Jesus died, nobody could have ever thought it was the Messiah because it was too comely. What is man that you are mindful of? It's too human. But Moses is saying that is the God of Israel. We are not serving a God that is staying somewhere in the sky and is eating our sacrifices. We are serving a God who has tested the forms of our comeliness and understands what we go through. That's Hebrews 4. He says that we have been, he said, yes, you have been tempted, but he has been tempted like us too. He says that's why we have a high priest. So God of Israel isn't someone who is just there. He's someone that is here. He understands it. He understands the sin, the struggles. That's why God could have just done few, swipe and go away. God could have done that, but God chose to suffer like his people too. Are you guys learning something? So Moses is writing that, see, Because the Jews had this polytheistic mindset where they had different gods. I mean, they had Baal. But he said there's a God. There's a God that can bring fire from heaven and come to earth. There's a God that can come in the flesh and can consume the object of sin, oppression, bondage. So God is not there, he's here. That's why Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. Genesis 3, God did not leave them comfortless. He came to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So whatever form, he was as pigs. Master Jesus. Of course. Of course. Master Jesus, I'm sorry. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
So look at, they said, I think I was in 7, I was before 6 now.
I have another question.
Okay.
So what happened to you? What happened in between God in heaven and God became a man?
What happened?
The people of Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent down fire and destroyed them. We saw a more, a harsh hand of God on the children of Israel, the Philistines, and others. So what now happened that when Jesus came, we're not seeing that again? And now in our days, we're not seeing that again.
I don't know. I'll be lying if I said that I did. But of course, I actually don't know. But the real truth was that I don't think Israel was going into war again. They were under captivity of the rogues now. And we read it Hypnosis class that what happened in Jesus' time was what was similar to the time of Daniel. They were under captivity.
Yes.
And so the people led it under captivity. Did you see any supernatural manifestation as it were? Except the boys writing on the wall. But it was not many. Did you see the earth split into two?
No.
Of course not. So I don't know. I actually have no idea. But of course, there's a whole lot of things that come into play. And their culture. But did the SPC do too? Who am I to say no? It must have done. So why God did that? Me, I have not learned it yet. So I don't want to give you a very wrong answer. So I don't. When our days today, I actually don't know. Why the earth is not opening up? Why the earth is opening up every time somebody sends me?
It's not a ball, man.
I don't know. I mean, people have perfect. I mean, people that are more hard. Many people that have perfect answers. So I actually don't know. But of course, we should not say things like, I mean, because Jesus Christ came, that's why God can be. He has always been calm. But I mean, can God kill people? We shouldn't lie. I don't know. So. Those are questions I cannot answer. I think I've told you guys before. Yeah, actually, no, if cannot. I mean, there's the Acts 12, there's Herod. Herod was boasting. And I was calling himself, the people were calling him God. You know Herod now? This guy that killed James. And you know, when he was boasting, the Bible said that God was. And of course, the scientists said that what actually happened to him was he actually had cancer. And he died because, of course, it says maggot in his body. So he said it was a cancerous wound that he had. That's what the Greeks say. And of course, people traced it and said it was God. But whatever it is, I know God dealt with him. Of course, there was Nebuchadnezzar also ate grass for 7 years. I also don't know why he did it. Do you understand? So there are also gray areas I also am not able to explain. So I don't know the answer. There was Nebuchadnezzar who ate. There was this guy that God sent Isaiah to and told him he was going to die.
Ezekiah.
Ezekiah had to plead to God. There's also, see, that's why this is Christology. Theology, I don't know. There are many, a lot of questions to ask too. And for example, David sins against Bathsheba. The first son dies. Right? But David still sleeps again with Bathsheba to give birth to Solomon. But was he married to Bathsheba? You know what I mean? Of course, Bathsheba was married to
Uriah.
So of course, there are areas like that. 6:30. Are we learning something? God here as a man. Is God not good? Look at verse 36, Genesis 17. God became a man. Genesis 32, 2. Look at Genesis 32. Genesis chapter 32. Of course, we are not saying, we are just saying those are forms of theophany. Are we saying it? Are we saying it? I was wondering, how is this going to help me? It will. But to help me, your knowledge of God. Amen. Genesis 32 and verse 22. And he arose that night and took two of his wives. Look at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the what? Until the what? Until the what? The breaking of. Look at what it says in verse 30. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is what? So did he see God? Five minutes.
She cannot carry it. See yourself.
No, it's not tight. She wants to carry it.
She cannot carry it.
Okay. So, the New Testament does not actually contain any explicit Trinitarian doctrine. There is nowhere in the New Testament that really uses the word Trinity. However, let's see the following. Matthew 28, verse 19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Matthew
28, verse 19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. That's where they got the grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit is with you now and forever. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. So the New Testament contains no explicit Trinitarian doctrine. So, some people believe that there's Trinity. How many of you believe there's Trinity? Some people just believe there's Unitarianism, which means there's just one God, but there are different faces. So, I'll show us a picture. So, those Unitarianism, we have three forms. Number one, modalism.
So I said we have
Unitarianism. Unitarianism. That's a variant of Trinitarianism. So we have three forms. We have modalism, Sabellianism. Modalism. Sabellianism. Sabellianism.
Does it hang like that usually? Or just snap?
I snapchat, I don't know why I used to
ask. And the last one, the third one, adoptionism.
Shit,
then the last one, Arianism. Ariana Grande. Adoptionism is the third one. Then Arianism. A-R-I-A-N-I-S-M. Ariana Grande. So let's start with the first. Modalism. Modalism believe that Jesus had three masks, that God has three masks. He's one,
eternally existing in three persons. So they believe sometimes God is God the Father, sometimes God the Son, sometimes God the Holy Spirit. Can you see? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, it's God the Father. In the New Testament, it's God the Son. In the Epistles, it's just God the Spirit. So they use the diagram to explain it. You can use the song. They can pass it. Are we learning something, guys?
Yeah.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
So, what is Christology built on?
Humanity
and the deity of Jesus. But I'm not focusing mainly on his deity today. His humanity and his deity. Christology 101 was the humanity of Jesus. Spoke about he can't sleep, he can't play, you know, he can't get tired. But this time, we're just going to focus more on the divinity of Jesus. He's divine, oh, praise the Lord. And there are just a lot of things, but I don't think we should mention that. I mean, have you ever asked people, I say, why did Jesus not have a father? And people will mention to you that he didn't have a father because, of course, all of us have sinned. And say, if he has a father, he will also be a sinner too. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Yeah. There's also, they are talking like, his name is Augustine. It was one that made that proponent. Like, I've checked him out. It's Pelagius. Pelagius said, no, when we are born free, mortal. We have not committed any sin. Have you heard that before? You ask people personally, where do babies go when you die? People say they don't go to hell. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Of course, why? Because they are human, mortal, they don't have a will. And the person that made that is called Pelagius. However, Augustine, on the other hand, that was in the 4th century, Augustine said, no, that's not true. Romans 3:23 says, for all our sins have come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says that for when Adam sinned, we all sinned. Meaning, I'm going to look at the Calvinism too very soon. Calvinists believe that we cannot be saved by our will. God's sovereignty overrides your will. I know that was the reason why peace is shades, because God has written, has predestined him to be saved. They have news like, I've heard things like eternal salvation. Are we saved forever? John's Gospel 16. Have you heard that before? Mm. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
I didn't say it's not true. I'm just giving you what all those proponents say. Do you understand? John 3:16 says, I forgot so of the world. And they believe that if God is the one that saved you, as the Bible says, we're in the Father's hand, and nobody can pluck us out of his hand. The Bible says, we are sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. And in the Renunciation, we said, being sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise is not talking about eternal salvation. I think I said that. Being sealed in the Holy Spirit is just talking about the fact that God owns you. Simple as finished. But again, what? Everyone. Oh! You are saved. Whether eternal, let God damn down. But they have that problem. The Calvinists are the ones that believe we're actually saved forever. The Arminianists, not this ones you guys just wrote, this ones believe that we can actually lose our salvation. We get saved by our will. A man's will is actually great, and God can do anything. And you have those kind of stuff. It does also affect our prayers. The Calvinists believe that when we pray, we are not the sovereign will of God to just take charge. So they don't believe in things like pray until something happens. Have you heard that before? P-U-S-H. As much as within scripture, you pray and allow God's will to happen. But again, the Bible tells us if you pray at all times, pray without ceasing. This word this is supplication to pray until something happens. But the Calvinists, the Arminians believe that when you pray, we also have the... Am I talking too much?
No.
Okay. We also have the Lutherans, that's Martin Luther, not the Martin Luther King, I have a dream. And the Lutherans are the Reformed people. We talked about that in, was it? Hermeneutics. We talked about the five things they brought out: sola fide, sola gloria, sola Christos,
yes.
And by faith in Christ, something by grace. They brought out five solas. And that's where they hymned a lot of hymns on hymns like in Christ alone. And those hymns were brought from the 16th century. Interestingly, the Bible was also translated. This King James was translated just immediately after the Reformed period. So you see a lot of words, and that's why our Christology right now that we are seeing is closer to the Reformed period than the ancient of this. Because you now have things like in Christ, I'm saved by grace, I'm saved by faith. Do you understand? I'm born again, I'm born of the Spirit. And just shortly after that period,
I would say that's pneumatology, just after that period, there was just a lot of Bible exegesis, explaining the word of God, but there was nothing like the move of the Spirit, the power of God. It was like a deluge. I mean, you can read on it. Luther actually apparently wrote, I can't remember the number of creeds, and he printed it on the Catholic wall, because Luther came out from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church are people who actually hold this Tritarianism to the Orthodoxy guys that hold this thing to the extreme. And of course, because they believe a lot of things in the Catholic Church, you need to confess your sins to the priest. They believe that the priest was supreme, eternal, and does not commit faults. And that was the problem that the Baptists had. I mean, the Baptist Methodist came also after the Reformed period. Am I talking too much?
No,
this is the part of my life that I love a lot. You know, the Methodist came further after this Reformed period. And then, because the Reformed said things like you are saved by grace, you can't commit sin. You know how we started with that in the morning? You can't commit sin, you're born again. And there was a man, his name is Charles Spurgeon. You guys know about Charles Spurgeon?
Yes.
John Wesley is a Baptist guy, it's just for you, that's what I'm saying. They call him the Prince of Preachers. So it was a service when, you know, one of these people were preaching and teaching and were saying, you are saved by grace. Of course, you are saved by grace. And he says, you know, people, I know there's a way you can affirm so much in Christ's realities and then you don't even practice it. You know, there are people like that. Mm-hmm. I'm born again, I'm born of God, and their life are not even showing it. I told Ife about some experience I had that just got me very, you know, about it. I was like, you are born again and you are gossiping. Oh, born again. You are born of flesh. But again, you are still born again. You understand what I'm saying. So, Charles Spurgeon was in service when they were preaching. I think one of them came to his house. So, Charles Spurgeon poured inside. He had a jar of water. So, he took the jar of water and poured it on the person who was preaching that he cannot get angry. Did you understand? He cannot. They called it, I think, the finished work spirit. I'm not saying I'm not finished work, so I'm just explaining you. I believe, amen. Of course, come on. I'm just saying, explaining what happened. So he put it on him, and then the guy just fled up and said, Why would you bow down me? Don't you know why I am? I said, but you just finished saying that the believer cannot sing for just 8. What did you just do? And so there was a lot of debate. The Catholic, the Anglicans are orthodoxy people, and the ones that believe in the Catholicism, I can't remember, the sacrament, eating of the communion, and the baptism. Have you been to an Anglican church before? They are orthodoxy. You know, Anglican now, they are orthodoxy. Even their worship is orthodoxy. I cannot survive there. I can't last one service. I would have died. But you know what I'm saying? So we had the Baptists. So the parties were good people. And then we had the Pentecostals. Yeah, the Pentecostals came out. And before that period was when we had this Azusa. There was a lot of the Azusa time, the Azusa Street Revival. Great stuff. Again, imagine you are coming from the age where people were arguing about if speaking in tongues should be done or not. Where Paul has said in 1 Corinthians 14, I speak in tongues more than you all. Do you know what that means? How you tell an entire Corinthian church where you have more than 10,000 people in a church? And I'm saying, well, bring all of you. I beat my chest, I speak in tongues more than you all. That was Paul practically was speaking in tongues 24 hours. That's what he was saying. And people were arguing that day. And he's not good speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is for one, it's for another, it's for one, it's for another. And you know, the thing about it is that what we're not able to do when we are explaining the Bible, and we're not able to balance an extreme, we went into another one. Yeah. We went into another one. One day, a friend of mine called me. She's a leader of a fellowship. She's outgoing now. She's not fine now. And she opened a text of the Bible to me. She read it, she said, do I know? In my heart, I smiled. I said, do you know when I've known this? But of course, I didn't tell her that. I said, of course I do. She said, I said, but if I was supposed to teach it, I won't teach it like this. I said, while what you are saying is correct, and when she was talking about Luke 6:38, two men of friends are shaken together, if we read the context of that verse, not really reading. But I said, see, don't let us lie to ourselves. Does God not bless you? He blesses you. I said, when you are in a congregation where you believe in that, as much as we talk about, it's not talking about giving, but also mention the fact that God supernaturally provides. We can get so much in the exegesis explanation of that and not talk about the fact that God also supernaturally provides. There are people who are giving their all and God met their needs. I didn't know people like that. Of course, we're not going to build our knowledge of God's word from our experiences. Do you know what I'm saying? But again, we're not going to push the experiences aside. Somebody asked me a question. He said, answer. Which one should I believe? My experiences or God's word? I said, see, my experience, I can't remember how he put it. I said, see, most of the times than not, the experiences you have now, you might not be able to explain until you have a better clarity of God's word. Look at Acts 2. We don't have a great explanation about what happened in Acts 2 until 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul explained that Acts 2 was tongues, interpretation, prophecy, and we had the gift of seeing and knowing. Imagine those guys now saying, hey, this is my experience, not like God's word, let us negate it. Just know what I'm saying. That sometimes experiences might just be calm down until you have a better clarity from God's word. Did I tell you the experience of someone who saw somebody that was dead? Hallelujah. Okay, let me ask you a question. There are people who see, there are people who walk around and they can literally see beings on people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know there are people that can literally hear things, that can hear people speak in different languages. Do you know there are people that can do that?